You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, Igniting Souls tribe, it's Cary Oberbrunner. Thrilled to be with you, kicking off your week. Episode 65, tapping in to your inner superhero, how to sustain high performance in work and life. All right, I think it's an important topic. It truly is. Why? Because most of the people I hang with, which includes you, we don't want to do anything small in life. You know, we're kind of here for a short season, so let's make our lives count. And if you want your life to count, well, I say it like this. If you want your time to count, you must count your time. What does that mean? That means that we got one shot. We got limited time. So let's make each day count. None of this drifting, none of this maintenance, sustaining, plateau, stuck, none of that. We don't allow that here. So if you're going to hang with us, you're going to get a little bit amped. You're going to get a little bit ignited. And folks, in today's episode, you might just learn how to tap into your inner superhero. This is something that I'm deeply passionate about. Why? Because last October, I went on record on stage at the Igniting Souls Conference, and we were in an exercise called Moonshot Thinking. And I said, look, before I lead anybody else through this exercise, I got to tell you guys what my moonshot is. And I said, my moonshot is to ignite 1 million souls by 2020. I think we're at 3.5 years left. 3.5 years to ignite 1 million souls. I can't do it by myself. I cannot do it without you. So that's why we're recording this podcast. That's why we have Author Academy Elite. Why? Because 200 authors, over 200, are now lighting up people. They are putting their passion into books, and they're going out and writing books which are touching others. And most likely, many of them would not be doing this without the Igniting Souls tribe. So I just want to thank you folks for listening, for your support, for your favor. Many of you are subscribing to the podcast, posting reviews. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And look, we're in this thing together. So if you want to join me in my moonshot, amen. Let's rock and roll together. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to need to sustain high performance in work and life. What does that mean? That means that we can't have chunks of our life where we say, you know what? I'm dead in that area. Because I'll tell you what, if you're 90% alive, you're 10% dead. And for too many years, I lived a life where I was only partially alive. And I never want to go back. I want to be full on. I want to be totally, open throttle. I mean, let's just live life that way, right? Where we're full on. So how do you do that? Well, I'm going to take you guys in. I did this in an Igniting Souls Fellowship a few weeks ago. It was really cool. And I'm going to just rock and roll. We're going to do this quick, and we're going to take a deep dive. So let's jump right in. Number one, what the heck does high performance mean? Because if we say, well, I want that, let's define it. Okay, here's what the definition is. Highly focused on goals and achieving superior results. You check that out? Highly focused on goals. That means you don't wake up and say, well, what's your goal? To get out of bed. You know, what's your goal? I don't know, to eat toast. No, come on. Highly focused on goals and achieving superior results. Surpassing other people and expectations. And folks, when we were in the fellowship last week, ooh, there was some tension when I read that. And I said, what about that? Do you like? What don't you like? People raised their hands and they said, I don't like surpassing other people. And I said, I get it. I totally get it. But then we began to talk about that. And we began to say that, who are you truly competing against? And folks, I put this up as a status update the other day. I said true champions aren't competing against anyone except for themselves. Folks, I don't wake up and compete against other people. I wake up and compete against my potential. Because here's what I know. If God's given you a lot of talent, which folks, He has, don't believe the lie. Who am I, you know, to do anything? What am I? Who can I reach? Come on, folks. Life's too short to think about those self-limiting beliefs. You have been massively endowed with major gifting. And it's up to you to steward it, to solidify it, to maximize it, to optimize it, to increase it. That's your responsibility. And I take that very seriously. So whenever I am a high performance state, whenever I am focused in that, look, it's not like, ooh, I got people's pictures in my head that I'm competing against. I'm competing against myself. And I encourage you to do the same. You know, the worst thing that someone could ever say is after you are on stage speaking or after you write a book or after you give a talk or write an article or help somebody, the worst thing that I think anyone could ever say is, you know what? I heard you do that 5 years ago and you haven't changed one bit. Ouch. Last time I checked, my writing has increased. Last time I checked, I look back at some of those beginning books I wrote and I feel like giving people a refund. Right? You got to laugh. Come on, folks. You got to laugh at yourself a little bit. Look, I get it. There's an old quote. I get it. It's a cliche, but it's still a good one. It says, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. That means that while some of us are sitting on the edge thinking about what would I do or should I ship, S-H-I-P, should I ship, as Seth Godin says, or we're tweaking forever. Look, I could tweak on that fiction book that I'm writing forever. I know I could, but I got a deadline. And that deadline says it's going to be done. And so I'm going to make it the best I can. And then one day I will ship it. And it's going to go into the marketplace. Here's the point, folks. How do you become highly focused on goals and achieving superior results, surpassing other people and their expectations? Well, how do you do it? I think before we get to the how, let's get to the why. Seriously, let's get to the why first. Because if people say, and I ask the people this, I don't know, we had 40 or 50 people show up at the fellowship. It's the monthly gathering in Columbus. It's something I do. It's a great business building strategy. At the end of that event, I don't know, we had 8 people sign up for different programs, the conference, but there is no dollar fee to walk into that. They just walk in, we serve, we love on them. I don't care if people come for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a row and never buy anything. That's not the point. The point is you need help, you come. And as people come to that event, we give them a taste. We give them a sample. We say, here's what it's about. And a lot of people get that jump start. They realize, what am I doing with my life? What is with this tribe? They're on fire. I want to be around them. I don't want to just hear them next month. Let's jump in and engage. And so then they engage and they're part of our private Facebook group on a daily basis, right? It's pretty sweet. But I asked these people, I said, you came for a reason. Why do you want high performance? And folks, that's the toughest question. Because until you know why you want high performance, why are we even worried about how? No, we don't even care about how. So we first said why. Then I asked the question, so after they got deep on that, well, I want to be a high performance person because I want to create enough income to free up my life so I can spend time with those I love. I want to be a high performance person because, you know, I heard this one even last week. I had a friend who died in my arms. And when he died in my arms, basically, his dad came up to me at the funeral and said, you got to live your life for this, you know, the deceased person. Because he died at a young age in his early 20s. And now you got to live for him. So my friend said, I'm living for him. Folks, I don't know what your why is, but until you tap into that why of your high performance, it really doesn't matter. So I want to encourage you. I mean, seriously, whether you're running, press pause. I'm not going anywhere. And just think about it for 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Why do you want to be a high performer? Is it to prove other people wrong? Well, let's take it, right? Let's take it. Is it to you know, shut up the naysayers? Is it because, I don't know, is it because you need to feel like you want to pay back somebody? Whatever the point is, you got to tap into that why. And my why, I already shared, ignite 1 million souls by 2020. That's why I need to be a high performer. Absolutely. I can't do that on inferior performance, on average performance. Please. And in fact, later on at the 2016 conference and the fiction book I'm working on, I'm going to pull back the curtain on a legitimate research project that's been done that shows how you can increase your performance by 500%. You realize what this means? This means for CEOs who come in to their job and crush it on Monday, they could go home. And the other CEO across the building would have to come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just to catch up. That means that if that high-performing CEO came in Monday and Tuesday, they would do more. Think about this. They would do more than the other CEO down the hall would do in 2 weeks. That's crazy, but it's possible. It's possible. It's been documented scientifically in this study that's been done. And I'm going to be sharing more and more about that. But let's just wade into the topic today. We're just going to spend about 10 minutes on it. So here's the point. What if I were to say to you that you are already genetically, psychologically, emotionally, and physically designed to be a high performer? See, many times we think, well, I'm just at baseline, so I have to reach up to high performance. I want to submit to you today that maybe you were actually engineered to be a high performer. What if that was actually your divine mandate? Like you were born in God's image and you were born to be a high performer. And what happens is, rather than gearing up, you've downshifted. You've actually downshifted from your divine destiny. Ouch. There's a thought. So is it possible? I think so. And I want to suggest to you, why? Because look at kids. Do you see little kids bored? I'm talking about little kids. Last time I checked, little kids are bouncing off the walls. They have so much energy, they can't even channel it, right? They're exploring, they're creating, they're designing, they're energetic. What do most adults say? Oh, I wish I would have that energy. You know, who said it? Someone said it recently. Why is youth wasted on young people or something like that? Right? Like as if we reach this age where we are now mature and if we only had that youthful energy, youthful vigor. Well, I want to suggest to you that you have it. It's a switch and you've switched it off for some reason. And I think you've switched it off for multiple reasons. Maybe it's because you don't want rejection. Maybe it's because you're told that if you're a high performer, you'll have more to do. Maybe it's because you don't feel like you get paid enough to be a high performer. And you want to get back at the man and coast. I don't know what it is, but I want to ask you a question. What's stopping you right now from being a high performer? Like what's literally stopping you? And what most people said at the fellowship a few weeks ago is they said, well, you know, it's because I'm a procrastinator, or it's because I have so much to do, or it's because I'm just carrying around a lot. And I said, hold on. And then I got this gallon of water. No joke. I had this gallon of water and I tied it to a string. And the cool thing was that after I tied it to the string, I brought somebody up from the audience. And I think his name was Cecil. So Cecil came up, nice guy, holding this gallon of water, tied to a string. And then I reenact a request. And I say, hey, Cecil, I have a favor. You know, I know you're into football and you help this little junior league of football. And I'm going to ask if you can wash all the uniforms. Boom. Then I poke the gallon of water. Hey, Cecil, you know, I know you used to play in the NFL, which is true. Cecil did. Hey, can I sit down and pick your brain about how I can coach my son better? Boom, poke it again. You get the point. I just bombarded Cecil with average requests that everybody gets as they walk through life. And you can imagine what happened after that first poke. The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the gallon of water just starts leaking, like literally leaking into this garbage can that I had. I had the garbage can up there just to catch all the water. And I told the people before we started, the water in that gallon represents your life force. Like I really believe that we each have a life force. And there's this passage in my favorite book that talks about that. It actually talks about men. And it's in King Solomon's warning his son. And he says, hey, don't go around and sleep with prostitutes because if you do, your vigor, you'll give your vigor to them, which means your life force. So I really believe that we have this life force. How do I know that? Because we say, I'm going on fumes. I feel burnt out, right? I feel like my tank is almost empty. Why do we use those terms? Because we understand that we need to recharge our batteries, right? We keep using these terms like that we are energy, and I believe that. And as a result, when you continually give away your choice and your time, and you don't refill with sleep, with food, with exercise, with friends, with rest, with passion, what happens is that you burn out. There is no chance for high performance. It's done because you're done. So what I do, folks, is I literally, if you think about that gallon of water illustration, I literally put a shield around my gallon of water. Like, how do I do that? It's with a document called my opus. And if you're saying, what the heck is that, Carrie? Can I see that? I want to download that. You can. It's in the show notes. And it's a process I went through. I don't have time to get in it fully today, but opus stands for masterpiece. And your opus is your masterpiece. Opus stands for O, overarching vision, P, purpose, U, unifying strategies, and S, scorecard for significance. And I get this from my close buddy, Chet Scott. Chet Scott's the mastermind behind this whole thing. And he took me through this process a lot of years ago. And I didn't want to do it. Chet kept saying like, Carrie, have you finished your opus? And I'm like, no. I got it in my head. And he's like, no, you don't. And I said, no, I really do. I have my opus. It's in my head. He said, no, you don't. You don't have your overarching vision, your purpose, your unifying strategies, and your scorecard for significance. You don't have that all laid out. And I was like, yeah, I do. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, let's meet next week and I want to see it. And folks, wow, I was lying to myself. I was totally lying to myself, assuming that I just had it all in my head when really I loved to be unclear. Folks, let's be honest. There is a price to clarity. Everybody says they want clarity. No, they don't. The moment you have clarity, now you have pain because now you are clear on what you don't have. Most people do not want clarity. They want to just walk around with a bunch of confusion in their mind, with broad goals, but nothing clearly defined. I certainly didn't, because I was sick of failing. I did not want the pain of writing something down and then not being able to achieve it. So I kind of just softball, you know, this answer to Chet. Yeah, I got it. Well, folks, what happened was I did get clear. I got laser focused on what my overarching vision is. I shared it with you. Ignite 1 million souls by the year 2020. It goes deeper than that. You can see the document. Like, I'm actually going to show you my opus. You can check everything out. You can see exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the point. In that opus, I have my tribe defined. I have my cause defined. I have my space defined. I have my 3 to 5 actions that I do. And that's it. Like, that's it. So when people come up to me and they say, hey, Kerry, can you be on my board? The answer is absolutely not. Now, I don't say it to them like that because I don't want to be a jerk, but I say, you know what? Thank you so much for asking me to be on your board. But unfortunately, I have to decline. Because saying yes to the board is saying no to my opus. And the pain of saying no to my opus is more detrimental to my health. The pain of saying no to my opus is more painful to me than pleasing you. Now, again, I don't say that. I'm not a jerk to people, okay? Please understand me. But that's how I justified in my mind. Because, no joke, I used to be addicted to people pleasing. Oh, man. I used to be unable to tell people no because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. I didn't want to offend them. I didn't want them to be mad at me. And what I learned very early on is that was a result of being unclear. You know, I hear people all the time, well, you know, I'm just not clear. I'm just not clear on what I'm supposed to be doing. I have too many options. Look, you haven't done the tough work. I'm sorry to say, but you have not done the tough work yet. Pascal said back in the day that all of man's evil resulted from his inability to sit quietly in a room by himself. We don't want to be alone with ourselves. We don't want to take the time to get clear. Why? Because then we would have pain of not achieving what we want, and we would actually go and crush it. We would actually be motivated to go out and get what we want. So we love to be unclear. Folks, I've coached thousands of people. I've seen it in every flavor. Can I hear an amen? This is why I love crowds to talk to, because I can hear you say your response, but I'm just believing. I'm believing that this is for somebody out there today. So what do I do? Back to that illustration with Cecil holding that gallon of water, which is 8 pounds on a string. Why is it on the string? Because life is moving. No one is ever static. And so we swung that little gallon and we began to prick that gallon of water with all these requests, these dozens and dozens and dozens of requests. And guess what? The water just flows out and it spills out and you have no chance of being a high performer unless you coat that gallon of water with bulletproof opus power. I'm making that up, but you get the point. So what does that mean? That means like 99.9% of my life is already decided for me. You might think that's boring. You know how freeing that is? Folks, I'm going to close with this. You might think this is whacked out crazy. Is it really? Because I'll tell you what, according to Cornell University, the average person, Google this, makes 226.7 food decisions every day. Did you catch that? Cornell University, Google it. The average person makes 226.7 food decisions. What does that mean? Why did Mark Zuckerberg decide to get all of the same outfits? Because he didn't want to spend 5 minutes deliberating whether he's going to wear a green or blue shirt. Because he's serving 1 billion people, at least, on the planet. My point is this, folks. You want to be successful? You are now inviting more decisions, more options. And many of us can't even manage the few options that we have, which is, what do you want for your menu item at the restaurant? It takes us 20 minutes to decide what we want to eat. And you're telling me you want to be more successful? Why am I passionate about this? Because folks, let me be the first one to tell you, maybe ever in your life, I believe you have so much potential in you. I believe that God's given you a major message that you need to get out to the world. I believe that you're supposed to ignite nations. I believe that you are supposed to speak to even kings and queens. And you're telling me that you can't get clarity. Now, I know this isn't for everybody, but I get fired up with this because I see so many people playing a small game. So many people are caught up because they cannot get clear on these bigger issues. And the reality is they don't want to get clear. So folks, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you I believe in you. I want to kick your butt a little bit. Okay? I tend to get a little bit fired up when I think about how short life is and how we are wasting so much sideways energy in the small stories of life. And I want to get you on the fast track to fulfilling your vision, your mission, your mandate. So, a couple things as we leave today. Why do you want to be a high performer? You need to wrestle with that. What's stopping you from being a high performer? Literally go back to your calendar the last 2, 3, 4 weeks and literally circle people's names. I'm challenging you. That meeting sucked my life. That meeting I shouldn't have gone to. That commitment I shouldn't be doing. Why? Because it's not life-giving. Because it's not something that I have pointing me in the direction that I know I'm supposed to go. I'm not talking about losing your integrity. I'm not talking about quitting everything that you've ever chosen to be part of, but I am talking about you gracefully creating an exit plan. My life is my life, and I love it, and I own it, but it did not become like that. It was a several-year process for me to leverage and create the life that I wanted, and it took hard work, but the first step was to say, why do I want to be a high performer? What's stopping me? And then how can I sustain a high performance in work and life? And folks, we don't have time to get into it fully today, but let me tell you this. It is by gathering around yourself people who are on fire. You become a reflection of the people that you're around. If you are around people who are not igniting you, that's part of your problem. You first need to become ignited yourself, then you need to gather around other people who are ignited. We have a free course we created. It's not ready yet, but it's called Regain My Sanity. Regain My Sanity. Folks, this is a 7-day video course. It's absolutely free. We created it for you. We create these. You're gonna hear a few of these in the next few weeks. These 7-day video courses that we created, absolutely free, which is me in your email inbox for 7 days straight with a goal. And I absolutely challenge you, if you do these courses and you actually do the work, yes, you watch the cool little video, you know, me talking, they're done at a very cool location. The wind's whipping a little bit, but it's all good. They're fun. They're fun videos, but then do the work. And if you watch the video and do the work, I'm telling you, you will be radically different. And just keep saying yes to your potential. Keep saying yes. Keep amping it up. All right, folks. You're awesome. It's fantastic. We're going to keep drilling deep. Stay connected. I believe in you. And remember that the most powerful weapon on the earth is the human soul on fire. Don't forget to check out my opus. That is an example, just one example of many. I have hundreds of people who've gone through that particular deeper path experience. And if you go to deeperpathbook.com/team, you can actually see about 3 dozen other examples from our teammates. So I'm not the only one. check out the different flavors of the other people, men, women, students, old people, young people. You can see their opus and check it out. All right, be a soul on fire. This is Carrie Overbrunner. You guys ignite me, and it's an honor to serve you. We'll talk soon.